Wilbian's house.
With Justin Garcia as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Speaking of old school Packers and people that are being cousin subbed for, I got an unexpected text from my friend Amy, who works for Capture Marketing. And they do a great job. They do a lot of stuff with Aaron Jones and a bunch of other local athletes.
Does she want to hang out with you on Saturday?
No, that was not what. Oh. That was not on the list. No. She's busy too. She's got kids. She's happy.
It's Memorial Day weekend. You know, nobody's really busy.
Nobody wants to hang out with me though on their own. So more importantly, they're cleaning out their offices, and they have unearthed in an unmarked box some autographed Wilson footballs. Signed by Mark Tauscher.
Wow.
Now, I don't know what their intentions are for them. She did offer me one. I feel like this is an opportunity for us. I don't know how deep this box is. I could see at least two. But it looks like there's more than that. So maybe three or five footballs in this box. I think there's an opportunity here.
One touch.
For fans of Mark Tauscher. So I'm going to see what the how much should I be willing to if she requires payment for these, how much should I be willing to pay to get those from her? $5? Does that seem high?
I mean, each or total.
The question is, like, if you next time you and Tausch are gonna be at the AmFam Champ, that's probably the next time we're all gonna be together.
Correct.
If you handed Tausch a football at the AmFam Championship and said, "Hey, pal, can you sign this for me?" What would his reaction be?
I'm sure he would do it, and he would make my life. He would be difficult about it.
Should we do this? Because maybe he's not listening on Wisconsin. I mean, this could be our little secret. Should we surprise him with this at the AmFam Championship to see what his reaction would be?
He's like Santa Claus, man. He always knows. He knows when you've been bad or good. So I don't anticipate this working, but I do. We could give these away as some sort of prize pack in some way. So I'm going to let Amy know that we will take these. All right. So speaking of Tausch, he and Jesse were at the Tellurian 26th annual charity celebrity golf outing yesterday in the Dells at Trapper's Turn. And we talked to, for me, and I bet for a lot of others, the other guy that we talked to also fits this category, my favorite old school Packer. We talked to Lynn Dickey, and we also talked to Don Majkowski, and then two guys that I covered, Gilbert Brown and Santana Dotson. So that's what spurred this conversation. But here's a little bit of what Lynn Dickey had to say about Jordan Love when we talked with him yesterday about the Packers' current and new starting quarterback.
I would tell him, you know, as cliche as it is, hey, let's try and be 1-0. And then the second week, you know, let's be 1-0 this week. And just pretty soon, if you're good enough, those, as you y'all know, those the W's will pile up and take care of itself. But just, again, I agree completely. He's not going to fail Aaron Rodgers' shoes. And, boy, if I was Matt LaFleur, I'd tell him, don't even try to do that.
Right.
We want to concentrate on all the things you can do. Yep. And the W's and the L's, it'll all take care of itself. But just be you.
Justin, when we talked to those guys yesterday, they had some really good insight into what it's like when you take over as a quarterback. Lynn Dickey was in Houston for a number of years before he came to Green Bay. But Don Majkowski, which I didn't realize this till I was writing my story for the State Journal, I knew he started as a rookie in 87. I didn't realize he was a 10th round pick. Like, we don't even have 10 rounds now. And he ended up obviously having a fantastic 89 season when things started to click for him that season. And they went 10-6 and actually didn't make the playoffs because there were fewer playoff teams. But the advice that they had about be yourself, I think that part is obvious. The other piece of it, though, was this kind of realistic, don't try to be Aaron Rodgers. But you know the fan base wants some, at least to some degree, and not necessarily this year, but we know what Packers fans are accustomed to. So being Mitch Trubisky is not going to be good enough for Packers fans and, quite frankly, for the Packers. So that's great that you don't want to be Aaron Rodgers or you don't want to try to be Aaron Rodgers, but somewhere in between Mitchell Trubisky and Aaron Rodgers is the sweet spot that they want and need him to be.
Yeah, and to me, I hate the, well, is this more than that, and the hypotheticals that we tend to really lean on in this industry, but you do have to wonder, is Jordan Love, through no fault of his own, facing more external pressure than Aaron Rodgers? Because we had the same conversation when Aaron Rodgers took over of, look, you're not going to replace Brett Favre. You're not going to fill those shoes, just be Aaron Rodgers, and we'll take it from there. And Aaron Rodgers put together a career that rivaled Brett Favre's, maybe even better. So now if you're Jordan Love, you're replacing not just Aaron Rodgers, but you're replacing Brett Favre, too, with the 30 years of quarterbacking that Packers fans have had. And it's one thing to have that message drilled down of, look, this doesn't last forever, and sooner or later, you're not going to have an elite quarterback. But it's not necessarily something that you absorb and register when you've gone through three decades of this where, oh, it's great. Jordan Love will be the next very good to great quarterback because that's all we've been accustomed to since 1992.
We're getting some interesting names that have not been mentioned yet. And, Jesse, I know you've got some text lined up, but I want to get to Jamie's tweet on this. Tim Harris, the old six-shooter celebration after sacks, Packers Hall of Famer. Brian Winters, the bearded sharpshooter from outside. And Gorman Thomas. Now, there's a guy who was a fan favorite. Struck out a lot, hit a lot of home runs, was really a man ahead of his time in terms of running through center field walls and being a strikeout or feast or famine hitter. Boy, was he beloved, and boy, were Brewers fans unfair to poor Rick Manning when they traded Gorman Thomas to Cleveland for Rick Manning.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of fan favorites or, you know, these, I remember that guy called heroes, Gorman Thomas walked so Russell Branyan could run with the Brewers.
A couple of others on Twitter that we haven't heard before. William Henderson, obviously a popular fullback. He does not make my list. A Bucks one that we haven't heard. Terry Cummings, who was acquired when they traded Marcus Johnson to the Clippers. Recollections of Terry Cummings or interactions with Terry Cummings, our Bucks buddy?
I didn't have any interactions with him. That was the really me just getting into basketball when he was in Milwaukee. But he's really an under-the-radar, really good player in franchise history that obviously if you were a fan in the 80s and early 90s, you remember and got to experience what he brought. But for a lot of younger fans, you may not realize it, that the guy that used to wear number 34 prior to that guy that wore number 34, when you look up and down the record books, we've talked for a couple of years now that, you know, you look not just NBA records, but certainly Bucks franchise records. It's Giannis holds this. He beat out Kareem, or the last Bucks player to do this was Kareem. But for a lot of these Giannis-specific categories, that third name is often Terry Cummings. That it's Terry Cummings, Kareem, and Giannis are the only players to have done this.
And Chris chimes in via Twitter, Favre, Greg Vaughn, and Glenn Robinson. So apparently he cribbed your list.
Yeah.
The only thing missing from his is Jared Bush. Jesse, what do you have in terms of text messages?
We got a lot to go through here. So Chris and Kohler, it's kind of fun to play like Guess the Era based on some of the names that come through. Chris and Kohler, Bucks Tim Thomas, light it up, light it up.
Ouch.
Packers Craig Newsome. And Brewers, here's a fun one, Marquise Grissom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He patrolled center field before Scott Podsednik, my guy.
Yeah.
So those are fun ones from Chris and Kohler. Jason, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, Tim Thomas, Craig Newsom, both players whose careers I covered, light it up, make me feel old. What else you got?
There's all kinds of ones to go through. James in Stamford, Connecticut, we had up on the stream a little bit earlier. Old school favorites. Brewers, Robin Yount needs to be mentioned. However, Teddy Higuera is my answer. Have we said any Teddy Higuera yet?
It's the first one I've heard.
I've seen a bunch of those on the text line. Teddy Higuera, big on the text line. But we haven't seen it as much come through on the calls. Packers, James Lofton. And for the Bucks, Terry Cummings.
Yeah, there you go.
Those are from James in Stamford, Connecticut.
I'm surprised we haven't, I'm not super surprised, but I'm a little surprised we haven't gotten any Ben Sheets for the Brewers either, because, you know, it was always, man, why can't the Brewers have an elite pitcher, and especially in the late 90s or all of the 90s and into the 2000s, it was really any great player. And Ben Sheets was really the first guy, and in his reception the final game at County Stadium where he returned from the Olympics with the gold medal. He had some incredible seasons, and there was that, I think it was 04, 05, where he was right up there for the Cy Young, that he was, I think for a segment of the audience, depending on your age, he was maybe your first favorite Brewers player.
Yeah, Ben Sheets was awesome. There was one day that we got, this was before some extra security measures were in place. One of the early days that my dad, who was an usher at Miller Park back in the day, you may have heard, we got to go in a little early with him, and it was a day game, and Ben Sheets, and I don't know who he was warming up with, but they were the only two players on the field. And so me and my buddy went and sat down while my dad was doing his meeting or whatever he had to do, and Ben Sheets just comes walking over to us, starts talking to us. He's like, "Hey, what are you guys doing? What are you doing here?" It was essentially what Ben Sheets said to us. And he talked to us for 5 or 10 minutes. And we're just, yeah, this is pretty cool. We're just chatting up with Ben Sheets. And we're like 10 years old. It was amazing.
I did a couple of Brewers spring trainings earlier in my career. And the two most vivid memories I have, beyond getting to sit and talk with Robin Yount, who was obviously on my list, for like a half hour. That was a dream. But the two memories I have of covering Brewers spring training. One, Jeff Juden berating me like that. You've ever seen the video of Ryan Leaf going after that reporter? All I was doing was standing near his locker. Like, I didn't even know who the hell Jeff Juden was, frankly. And apparently I was a little too close to his locker. He thought I wanted to interview him, which I most certainly did not. And that is one of the very rare times where I was fearing for perhaps being deposited into a garbage can. And there were a lot of F words thrown. And I was like, I'm sorry. I was just standing. I wasn't going to bother you. So he was a grade A jerk. And then the other one is Ben Sheets on the opposite end of the spectrum. When my friend Drew Olson, who was covering the Brewers at the time for the Journal Sentinel, introduced me to Ben Sheets and told him that I covered the Packers. And for the next 15 to 20 minutes, we talked football and fantasy football, because he was big time in fantasy, loved fantasy football. And so he was asked, instead of me interviewing him, it was him interviewing me. And he could not have been nicer. So I was at each end of the spectrum during my trips to Phoenix for the Brewers spring training. Jesse, give me one more text before we shift gears.
Let's do this one from Nick in Madison to make you feel old, Jason. William Henderson, Ray Allen, and Ricky Weeks from Nick in Madison. So that's probably about the same age range as me, I would say.
Ricky Weeks, Prince Fielder, J.J. Hardy.
Yeah.
Corey Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Like that group, that was kind of the Yount, Molitor, Gantner, Gorman, Thomas of the newer age, right?
And Braun a little bit later, but he was lumped in with those guys. Yeah, it's Braun, Weeks, Fielder, Hardy, and Corey Hart were probably the big five coming up. Yep.
All right, we'll sneak a few more of these in before the end of the show, but I did want to get to, Jesse, you had this on the to-do list for today's show, and I do want to get to this. A little need it or don't need it presented by Fleet Farm for the Packers. But it's not just the Packers. It's all over the map. A very different than we're accustomed to, need it or don't need it, presented by Fleet Farm. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Everybody.
Time now to play a little Need It or Don't Need It, presented by Fleet Farm. And Fleet Farm has its Memorial Day sale going on right now, and it's your chance to save. Now, all active military and veterans, who, by the way, we really do thank for their service, as opposed to our sarcastic ridiculing of Jesse and Tausch and my less important efforts in what we do on this program, to thank military and veterans for their service, Fleet Farm is giving you an extra 10% off all your in-store purchases through May 29th. Plus, you can check out deals for everyone and more at fleetfarm.com. Get your camping essentials while you're at it during the countdown to summer sale now at Fleet Farm, where you can score savings on tents, sleeping bags, coolers, and more to get you ready for your summer camping trips. Fleet Farm, proudly serving the Midwest since 1955. Time now for Need It or Don't Need It.
Need It? I guess you're just what I need. Or Don't Need It. Presented by Fleet Farm. Remember, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, then you don't need it. Fleet Farm, serving the Midwest since 1955.
First up in Need It or Don't Need It, presented by Fleet Farm. Do the Green Bay Packers need to win more than their projected over-under win total at 7.5 games this season? Do they need to win more than 7.5 for you to feel confident in Jordan Love as the team's starting quarterback? Cousin sub of the day, Justin Garcia. Need it or don't need it?
Don't need it. You can't lose significantly more. Like, you can't go 2-15 unless there's just a massive, massive list of injuries. But I don't think if the Packers go 7-10 or 6-11 that your takeaway is, well, I don't trust Jordan Love to be great and lead this team going forward.
This is the argument that Craig Karmazin and I had on Sunday Karma last week, where he suggested that the Packers could have a season like the Bears did last year, and it would still be a success because they would know who their quarterback is, because the Bears know, or at least have committed to, Justin Fields as their quarterback. To which I said, if the Packers go 3-14, if Jordan Love plays all 17 games, Jordan Love will have conclusively shown that he is not the guy.
Right.
I mean, you can't go 3-14. Now, 6-11 is where I have them picked. 6-11, I think you can very easily say, yeah, they didn't win a lot of games, but I really liked his progression throughout the course of the season. And if he wins some games late in the year, I feel even better about him. So, no, you definitely don't need to hit over the 7.5 wins.
Need it or don't need it?
Switching over to the NBA. Do people need to stop saying the Denver Nuggets are boring? They're in the NBA Finals. They've breezed through the West, sweeping the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Tausch's favorite player, Jokic, is leading the way. Jamal Murray's pretty good. But people, national pundits, I've seen most popularly Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated, among others, saying the Nuggets are just boring to talk about. Need it or don't need it, Justin. We need to stop saying the Nuggets are boring.
All right, not to get on my soapbox here, but
woohoo! Soapbox time!
I'm not sure how to answer this one because, look, I love the Nuggets. I love basketball. They're fun to watch on the court. That's not what the league is. And I don't agree with what Chris Mannix said, but at the same time, he's not wrong. And it's more of a larger problem for the league that we've gone through so many things of load management and making the regular season more meaningful and all these other things that Adam Silver has tried to tackle and address. How do we get more interest into the product here in season tournaments and all of this stuff? But it all boils down to this. They sell the league. The product that they're selling is off the court. Like, it's still the off season that is the most entertaining and what gets the most interest and attention for casual fans and for that four-letter network and all the coverage that gets elsewhere. So I don't agree with it just because I love basketball, but if I'm a casual fan, the Nuggets are boring. It's the same conversation we had about the Bucks for all of these years with Giannis and Bud and the culture that they adapted. They had no off-court drama. They had nothing going on with any flashy players or anything. They were just a team that did their job and consistently won. That's what the Nuggets do. And it's boring if you're looking for, hey, what's going to happen with Kyrie? James Harden's requesting a trade. This coach was fired, and this is going on. And again, the problem is that's what the league wants because that's what they're selling. And you can't tell me it's not what they want when it's what one major partner in ESPN fills most of their content with.
All right. In fairness to our program, we do have a tendency to not spend a lot of time talking about the basketball ourselves unless we have you or Eric name to educate and elucidate.
We don't talk about the basketball.
We don't talk about the basketball. No, 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 no. But, well, the reason I use that phrase, Jesse, is the drama gets talked about a lot. Do you really think that the league is in some ways complicit with that attention that it gets? Or is that more on, you know, the media, the Jason Wildes of the world that cover the NBA? Who, you know, I'll admit it, the Rodgers drama, I write a lot about it, I talked a lot about it. And now the Packers have a very good chance of being like NBA boring without the drama and without him going on. You know, Jordan Love's not doing a Tuesday hit on McAfee now. It could be very boring, which I'm okay with, for the record.
All it would take is one call from Adam Silver to say, hey, we don't really like how you handled the Western Conference Finals. You're going to have to do something differently. Can you do a feature piece on Nikola Jokic? Can you give some coverage to the Denver Nuggets? Because, again, when the Nuggets swept the Lakers, there was 4 seconds of showing the Nuggets celebrating their first ever sweep in a playoff series and their first ever trip to the finals.
Yep.
It was showing Anthony Davis' reaction. It was showing LeBron James and following him into the tunnel, into the locker room. All the attention afterwards was LeBron James saying, I'm thinking of retiring. It wasn't, man, we were wrong. We should have given Nikola Jokic 3 straight MVPs. He's one of the greatest offensive players we've ever seen. It's what's going to happen with LeBron next. And even here locally, all the points you made throughout the state, we don't get a lot of coverage for the Bucks, and I understand why for all those reasons. But think about the coverage we've gotten so far. It's Bud's fired. Storm clouds are brewing, according to Brian Windhorst. What does this mean? Is Giannis going to stay?
Right.
It wasn't
right.
So much what went wrong in the first round. Where do you go from here? What does this mean for Chris Middleton? It was all the off-the-court stuff, and that's what drives the interest in the product, unfortunately, and that's what the league loves.
Need it or don't need it?
Last one in Need It or Don't Need It, presented by Fleet Farm. Oh, it's a Justin Garcia special. Did you look at that? Need it or don't need it, Jason Wilde needs to tune in to one of the wrestling options on his television while he's home alone this weekend and give it a legitimate try.
Look, as much as I would love for Jason to get into the real sweet science.
And, the real sweet science.
You know, maybe we could have our own type of show with me, him, and Gabe. Then I'm not going to force it on anyone. And he'd be jumping in mid-storyline for a lot of these things. I mean,
hard to catch up. Yeah.
AEW is way, way, way beyond you for its wrestling purity. And
strange that you would say that a sports entertainment realm, I would be jumping in mid-storyline. You never hear that about legitimate sports. Oh, you can't jump into the NBA season midway through because you're jumping in mid-storyline.
Well, true, but, I mean, you've missed a lot. Like, this is 3 years in the making, this storytelling with the Bloodline and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. So it would basically be like, you know what? I think I'm going to watch Fast and the Furious, and I'm going to start with this latest one that came out.
Can it just in 120 seconds or less, can you defend being an intelligent person like yourself and duping yourself? I want to be very clear. In my youth, I was the Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan. There was still some debate back then when I was a youngster. You know, right, Macho Man Randy Savage, yeah. Whether or not it was fake or not, whether the outcomes were predetermined. They have now leaned into that, and we all wink, wink, nod, nod, know that this is all scripted. Explain to me why it just has such incredible appeal when, I mean, ESPN for a period, I don't know if they still do it, but they were covering this kind of stuff as if it was as undecided as, say, game six in Miami tomorrow night. Explain it to me, my friend.
All right. So for the record, I don't believe that the outcomes are not predetermined, but I grew up loving it as a kid, those same names that you mentioned, which have become very problematic with some of the things they've done and said in recent years. But I grew up loving it as a kid, and I was a teenager in the mid to late 90s when it really took off for some equally problematic reasons, and have just stuck with it through the years. I appreciate the athleticism that it requires, and look, it's storytelling, and that's what it is. It's no different from any other TV show where you're following the plot line for several seasons, that this is just athletic storytelling.
It's an athletic men's soap opera.
If you want to use those words, sure.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Again, storytelling, television show, episodic television, soap opera, if that's how you want to kind of confine it, sure.
These are the days of Justin Garcia's life. We will get to Whoa Nelly next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Getting lots of your old school favorites. In retrospect, I should have gotten to that earlier in the program. Good stuff. So thank you for those. We have gotten a Ben Sheets reference, yes. Now,
a lot of Jeff Jenkins on the text line coming in late.
Yeah, that is a good one. Speaking of good ones, time now for Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
So I've been invited to a dad-chiller party this weekend. Dad-chiller party. An expecting father, along with his wife. They're having a baby shower in the morning, where a lot of the ladies and her friends are invited. And then the guys are coming over later in the day, having a cookout, bringing a case of beer and a package of diapers. Have you ever heard of anything like this before? Because I mentioned it to my dad yesterday or earlier this week, and he's like, what the heck is that? But I have heard of this before, that other people have thrown these kinds of parties. It wasn't a new concept to me. Justin, Jason, have you ever heard of it?
I have never heard of that. That is new to me.
And what exactly are you doing? Like, obviously, baby shower is very common. My experience has been that those have now become all gender events. Husbands and wives come.
Baby showers?
Yeah.
I was going to ask. Yeah. A very good friend of mine announced she's pregnant and said, hey, I need the address to send for your invite to the baby shower. And I thought, I'll go, but is that common?
I think that that's kind of where we're at. I think very common now. But apparently not with Jesse's friends, who are dividing their baby shower and dad chiller party.
Yeah.
That's a real You know, you're pretty good with words, hey. Jesse. Like, you come up with pretty catchy titles and stuff. That feels like a stretch to me.
We should bring this full circle with today's discussion and get Brandon Chiller to show up to the dad chiller party.
So, I mean, the whole concept is, you know, if you think of a bachelor party, it's like your last party before you get married. The last time you're going out with all your friends, even though it's not really true. It's just a good excuse. So this is, I think, really more realistic than a bachelor party, where it's like, oh, you're not going to be able to go out anymore because you're getting married. Like, that's not what this is. You're going to go out or you're going to have a big party, because you're probably not going to have a big party anymore once that baby's born in a month or so. So I think it's actually more realistic than a bachelor party. I think the dad-chiller party, if you have to go all in on one or the other, the dad-chiller party should replace the bachelor party.
That's an unpopular take.
Good luck selling that to the masses.
I want both, but I think if you're saying it's your last party before blank, like, do you need a party before you get married, or do you need a party before you have your first kid? No doubt to me, the answer is you need that party before your first kid, because that's life-changing stuff there. Like, a lot of times, especially these days, people are living with their significant other before they get married.
Probably.
Like, nothing really changes when you get married. Everything changes when you have a kid.
You've probably matured a little more and have moved further and further away from your partying ways when you're on the doorstep of becoming a parent, that it's probably, I don't even do that anymore, for the most part.
I just don't understand why they have to be separate events. And again, if they're avid listeners to the program, thank you for listening. But I'm confused as to why they just, like, you're married. You and Becca could go together. Like, I just don't, I mean, she's gone for another, like, 6 months. But if she was in town, like, I just, whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly.
Well, here's the other thing. It's in the Chicago area. We're told the dad chiller party starts at 5. And then I said, how long do you think this is going to go? Do we need to make, like, should we plan on staying over somewhere? Should we, you know, get a place? Are we going to drive back? And he said, 8 or 9. If you're driving 2 or 3 hours.
Getting worse.
If you're driving 2 or 3 hours from out of state to go to a party, and it's only going to last 2 or 3 hours. I know Tausch would do that for a baseball game based on yesterday's conversation. That party's got to last more than 2 or 3 hours, right? It feels like that's short.
Yeah, you're. I just don't get it. I can't fake it. I don't understand it. Good luck with your dadchiller party, though.
Whoa, Nelly!
What are you shaking your head doing the whoof thing for?
I don't, like, what exactly you got to do, too, with this? Like, it's like we know what happens like at bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Yeah, no, it's like a Memorial Day weekend cookout. Like, it's a tame party, and then if you want to go out, like, I think the reason for making it more of a similar to a bachelor party is that if the guys want to go out and bar hop or anything at night, like Patrick is my friend, his wife AJ, like, she's having the bridal shower or the baby shower in the morning.
So
if she, like, you know, she probably even want to go bar hop if she's 8 months pregnant, so she can do her thing, stay at home.
It's not even a bachelor party. It's basically Saturday, is what you're saying.
Memorial Day weekend Saturday, yes.
Whoa, Nelly!
You know what? Sorry for bringing it up.
We accept your apology. Yeah.
Tomorrow is National Grape Day. Maybe you'll celebrate that instead. Is grape the best fruit flavor for any candy or popsicle or anything of the like?
All right, I'm sorry. We're done. We're not doing this anymore.
Nelly!
I'm calling an audible because as much as I could talk about grape soda and bachelor parties all day, I have a bone to pick with our friend Ashton Rotman.
Uh-oh.
Now, I love Ashton. Ron of the Key called earlier asking me if I would be willing to come down to the Rot's hot dog truck to celebrate with him. Not after what happened yesterday. So,
what happened yesterday?
Yesterday, and to be honest, I am going to have a patient that I'm going to have to look out for in a few hours when he comes home from the vet's hospital to be taken care of. But we had the final of our cats, who was added most recently and has cost us by far the most money because of his self-destructive behavior, undergo surgery this week. And I happened to tell the story on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, presented by Grubel Offices. But our vet clinic, Riverside Animal Hospital, is great. When you have an expensive events occur. They allow you to pay in installments because, seriously, I cannot foot the bill in one fell swoop for this idiot cat. Also named AJ, much like your mom-to-be for your dadgler party.
How about that?
But we got into a discussion with Gabe and Chewy about the top end you're willing to spend on health care for your pet. And Ashton Rotman asked, and I'm quoting here, isn't it cheaper to just get a new pet? And he defended himself by saying, well, I asked the tough questions. Which, thank you for your service.
Someone's got to do it.
But I understand that we have more pets than your average family. Far more.
Yeah, I have a lot.
But that said, this is it. I want to be clear. This is not even the cat that I like. He's kind of a jerk. But how am I going to look my children in the eye and say, yeah, we decided it was cheaper to put him down? I mean, Ashton.
Bring home a new cat. It's a lot easier to say that.
Yeah, or to say he ran away. Yeah, it was.
He's up on a farm.
Got him in the car, and as soon as we got to the vet, he just took off, and he's gone.
So, Ashton, both Justin and I, while we try to act like we don't, we both love you. But I appreciate that you were trying to be the villain on the show yesterday. But I have a few pets in my house who would like a word with you.
It sounds like you could have those pets have a word with them when you're down visiting Rot's Hots this weekend getting a hot dog.
So I can't leave the pay. I have to go pick up AJ. I have to help continue to nurse him back to health and obviously find an extra job to be able to pay off our debt. All right.
Sounds like he's not moving too fast. Maybe he'd appreciate a little ride.
He can just sit in the car while I eat hot dogs. Jesse, you need to pick this week's trivia winner before we get to Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints.
I do. Poker chips, post-it notes all in hand. I have selected number 2, which is our winner, a first-time contestant, Garrett in Oregon. Tuesday's contestant, first-timer and a winner.
Well, that is a little feel-good story, and we'll have some more feel-good stories for you to wrap up the week. It's Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paint. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Hey, feeling good, like I should. Been in dark, a walk around the neighborhood. Feeling blessed, never stressed. Got that sunshine on my Sunday bed.
It is time for Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. It's always a feel-good day on Wilde and Tausch when Justin Garcia is our cousin sub of the day. And so we'll let him go first with his Feel Good Friday.
Wow. I have two of them here. One is very pat on the back. But Syria and Saudi Arabia normalizing their diplomatic relations recently here. That has opened the door for Sami Zayn to appear at Night of Champions tomorrow, the WWE Premium Live event. Sami Zayn, in all honesty, has done a lot, donated his WrestleMania paychecks to causes in Syria. He is Syrian by descent and hasn't been able to participate in any of his events the past few years because of that relationship. So good to see him back there on the main stage.
That's not a fake story.
That's not a fake story. That is actual.
Hard to tell
story.
With wrestling, but thank
and,
you. That's a good story.
Yes. And the other quick one, pat on the back, we have just finalized some plans. If you want to see something like this live and in person, the final week of June, we are doing a live show in Milwaukee, location to be announced shortly. It'll be myself, Kane Pittman, Frank Madden, our pal Eric Name, and Camille Davis doing a live Bucks show at an establishment to be named the final week of June.
I hope the Rot's Hots truck is outside. All right. Mine is a very simple one, too. And we spent some time earlier this week talking about Michael Block and what a great story he was at the PGA Championship. Disappointing ending, but I want to give a shout-out to Ben Chan, who is a St. Norbert College professor who had his 9-game winning streak on Jeopardy snapped in controversial fashion. I wish you were still playing, Professor Chan, but well done on a great run on one of our favorite game shows. Jesse?
Wait, this guy was on Jeopardy? We didn't even talk about it all week? He was winning all... What?
Yeah. I don't know if a producer was on top of things, he'd have been a guest.
Jeez. I didn't even know this was going on. It is Memorial Day weekend, so as much as we love to joke about it on Wildy and Tausch, for all of the veterans and members of the armed forces and all of these service members out in the world that enjoy our show, on behalf of Jason and Tausch and everyone, thank you for your service.
A sincere legitimately thank you for your service.
Thank you for all that you do for us and for our country. Thank you.
And for those of you that don't know, we say that sarcastically because what we do is not nearly as important as what you do and many others do. We're just a couple of goofballs doing a radio show. All right, that's it for us this week. Justin, thank you for your service by stepping in for the show today. It is always great to spend time with you. I can't wait to attend that to-be-named later event later next month. That's it for us this week. We will be back on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Take care. Be good.